Your Bible is Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. We're going to read verses 1 through 16. Just simple title of the message, The Great Need for More Laborers. The Great Need for More Laborers. I don't know if this is, it really isn't. It's not going to be new for most of you. But I want you to enjoy the Word of God. And this is going to be some instruction for us. We're going to get some principles of this going and reaching the world for Christ. Let's read these verses, then I'll preach. Luke chapter 10, verse 1 says this, After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he, said Jesus unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. Into the whatsoever house ye enter, first say, Peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall return to you again. Verse 7. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Verse 10. But into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, Even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Verse 12. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which had been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. Thou, Capernaum, which art exalted in heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. The great need for laborers. This passage is to believers, as I tell people. The Bible is primarily written to those that have truly put their faith and trust in Christ. The Bible's all about the gospel. Reminder, O Christian, the gospel is for you and I as well, daily. We need to get our eyes focused on Christ, focused on His work, focused on the gospel. I want to just begin with this, because there is a great need. And Jesus, He'll tell us, and we'll see this here, He said, pray for more laborers. And it is work. I want you to be clear. You and I do not impact God's love by our performance. I want you to make sure of that. We're not trying to earn His love. Even as a believer, I'm not trying to increase His love. That's how good God is. And if we really understand it, when we are truly focused on Him and understanding His love, then we in turn will love Him and we will do His work. That's what Jesus did. He did all that the Father had told Him to do. I want you to understand, just turn over real quickly. I want to show you this. Look at John 17. It's one of the most stunning verses in all the Word of God. I think it's been a while since I've mentioned this. Jesus wants the world to know three things. John 17, verse 23. He's talking about unity with His people. I think particularly within churches, it's so important. Tonight we'll begin 1 Corinthians. It begins. We won't get there tonight, but ultimately, very quickly, next Sunday we'll be talking about unity. But He says this in John 17, 23. This is Jesus praying. Not in the Garden of Gethsemane. He then goes to the Garden of Gethsemane after this prayer. But John chapter 17, verse 23, he says, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, speaking of that unity, and that the world may know, and he wants the world to know three things, that thou hast sent me, so Jesus wants the world to know that the Father sent the Son. That's what he wants the world to know. Secondly, that God loved them. He wants the world to know that God sent Jesus and that God loves them, that God loves the world. And then this last one, as thou hast loved me. You chew on that. Wants the world to know three things. One, God sent him. Two, God loves them. And three, God loves them as he loves Jesus. That is mind-blowing. You understand this, that God, because I've heard this criticism before, they say, well, if God loves me so much, then how can he damn a soul to hell? Because he is also perfectly just. You know, what would happen today is imagine I was a judge and Elia came before me, right? And there was a case with Elia. Some of you don't know, that's my granddaughter. She's not yet four, so I'm hypothetical, right? But if Elia came before me, what should I do? What should I do, Randall? I should recuse myself because I couldn't help but be biased, right? You see, God doesn't have to recuse himself because he's perfect, holy, consistent, and isn't biased. He is just. Understand that. And he can love that person and cannot ignore his justice. He has made a way for you to be saved this morning. And oh, Christian, he has called us to be that voice to the world. Let's just look at this passage and then I'll get to it. You're going to see, I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 principles. But I've got some to preach prior to get to those seven. But that just helps you pace yourself because you're like, I can't believe we have 7 to go. First thought, I want you to see Jesus sends more. So he starts deploying more and more and more people. Look at verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. And he sent them 2 by 2 before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. You know this, then, before Jesus ascended into heaven after his resurrection, he gives what we commonly call the Great Commission. It's what he committed his churches to, what he commissioned his churches to do. And it's that we would go ye therefore and teach all nations. There's two teaches. I mean, we covered that a little bit this morning. Teach all nations. And then we're not commanded to save anybody because we can't. Something happens after the comma, after you teach the lost. God will save them. And then we then baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Baptism doesn't get you to heaven. Baptism is a step of obedience. If you're saved this morning and you've never followed the Lord in baptism after you've been saved, you should get it right with God. It's period. It's the first step of obedience. I want to suggest to you this morning, so I didn't mean to get in this, but you never know. I can't mention a verse without preaching it. It's this. Oh, Christian, you say, I know I'm born again, and you haven't followed him in that first step of obedience, the blessings of God cannot flow through as well when we harbor disobedience. That's not me trying to get more people baptized. It's really not. That's me trying to help you that says this. If you've been saved and you haven't followed the Lord in scriptural baptism after you've been saved, you need to get it right with God. That's between you and God. Make it right with God. And I'm telling you, you can have this. I'm not doing it because of you. Well, I'll tell you this. Why don't you just let me remind you? Do it because that's what Jesus wants. So he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded. Lo, I'm with you always. And so he sends us, and we are to teach. We are to teach. We are to go. Look at this in verse 1. Here's what I love. So that's the going. That's the going for us. He sends these 70, but every single person, and it's primarily to his churches. I want you to understand this. God's plan to reach the world was through churches. And churches are obviously made up of individuals that have committed together to take the gospel to their community and the uttermost parts of the world. That's God's plan. And I'm telling you this, we are in Fairfield, Ohio. And I want you to reach your friends and neighbors in your communities. But we will answer for Fairfield, Ohio. I'm no doubt, I'm going to answer for the uttermost parts of the world. And we will as a church as well. And so I want you to understand this. He's told us to go. Look at verse 1, and I love this. And this is the saying. Just have this confidence. Look at verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed others 70 also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. I believe this. When we go out on Wednesday nights, when I share the gospel with somebody else, when we go, guess who's going to follow up? I believe the Lord is. And I can show you other passages. I want you to have this confidence. Anthony, if it's all you, ain't nothing going to happen. But here's what I love. If we just do what God asks, he's going to follow up. I think he has some extra work sometimes after he follows up with me. He's like, well, you know, just, and he massages their heart. Have that confidence that we go before him, and he goes with us. I'm not suggesting he's not, but he follows up as well. I've seen it time and time again. You know, I'm on this silly diet. And so I saw a great video this past week. This guy, he did a study, and he said it's okay to drink Diet Pop and it won't mess up the carnivore diet. So I've been sucking the Diet Mountain Dew again, to my wife's chagrin. And she is counting how many cups I have a day, so now I'm just not bringing them in the house. It's just not good. Not good. I hadn't been to Thornton's for 35 days. I know. I've got ministry there. God's going to give me some souls there. I just know that. There's a young man, Aaron. Well, I thought Aaron was ghosting me. And I guess people, they, I don't know, lose their phones, change their phone numbers. I don't know. It seems to happen often with me. And I walked out. I don't lose my phone number, but people I deal with, right? I'm like, God, are you really? I go, I just have, you know, but I walk in and Aaron was there. And he goes, I've missed you. And I said, I've missed you too. I said, you still ready for that Bible study? He said, I am. He said, I'm working third shift now. I said, I have an opening next Tuesday at 8:30. I said, you can come to my office, which is 2 minutes away. We'll have a Bible study and we'll get you to work on time. And so I want to tell you that I was gone 35 days. And I'm very negative on myself. So you can just imagine, I thought, Aaron doesn't work there anymore. That's what I thought. And then there's this other young lady, Jess. You ladies, Jess says she's coming to church, and I'm going to link her up with one of you and just love on this young lady, right? She's heard all the things of the world. She just needs you to love on her. She's a sweet, I look at everybody like, little girl. She's a young woman that needs another woman to love on her and teach her the Bible. She's ready. I'm trying to get her a Bible study without her coming to church, but she said, oh, I'm coming to church first. And I bring all that to tell you this. You know who was coming in after me when I was gone for 35 days from Thornton's? The Lord was. First thing Aaron said, I didn't even have to tell him. He said, have you tried to text me? I have. And then it said, you've been blocked. And then I took it even personal. I said, you need to. And he wasn't blocking me. I guess when you don't pay your bill or change phones, I'm not sure what happens. It says blocked. At least this one did. And he doesn't have a new phone yet, I wonder. But God went behind me, before me, with me. And you see, you got to stop being negative. I'm very negative about this stuff. I can be so much more negative than you. But what I love is the Lord's better than us. Why don't we just obey and just go? He will back us up. He will help us. And then it says this. I mean, it says greatest harvest. Look at verse 2. He said there, the Lord, the harvest truly is great. It says in Matthew, plenteous. I like the word plenteous. Oh. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. The harvest is great, the laborers are few. I hadn't thought of this before because I'm not a farmer. But can you imagine being a farmer and you've spent since spring, and you tilled the ground, you prepared the ground, you planted the seed, and, maybe you had irrigation, but you're primarily dependent on the Lord. The Lord waters it. We've had a great year this year for water, except maybe the last 6-7 weeks. And then all of a sudden, man, you got this harvest. No laborers. Would you be stressed? You'd be stressed, particularly if your livelihood is on the harvest, right? I think you'd pray, oh God, give me laborers. You must understand, when Jesus would walk outside, he sees things that you and I don't see. And he's like, if we have more laborers, there'll be a greater harvest. I want you to know this when the Bible says the laborers are few. This is important so you don't get unrealistic. If there's, okay, let me just ask you. See guys, you ever have, what do they call them? Descriptive math problems, word math problems. I mean, what are they, sentence, what do you call them? What? Word problems, is that what they're called? Word problems. You can say, I have word problems every time I preach, don't I, Blair? And so word problems, you know, they'll describe. So let me see this. I'm sorry. Huge harvest. Fewer laborers. Huge harvest, a lot of laborers. Who's going to work harder? The one with few laborers or the one with a lot of laborers? Few. All right, now get this. I don't think things have changed in 2,000 years since Jesus said this. And so you know what this says? Don't complain that we're going to have to do a lot of work. Again, I'll tell you this. We don't do work to earn his favor. We don't do work to earn his love. We do it because he's worthy. Make sure of that. But this is part of the reality. Make sure of this. But let's not kid ourselves. I don't worry about how many laborers there are, but I'll tell you, we're going to see here in just a second. In fact, I'll put up my third point. It's that we need to pray for God to send more laborers. And if you pray that God will send more laborers, you know, I got the answer to your prayer request. I got your answer to your prayer request. Seth, if you pray for God to send more laborers, I have the first answer. You know what the first answer is? You! Right there, my friend. All right. So Eli, if you pray for more laborers, you know what the Lord's saying? You! Right there. Keaton, you. You're like, that's why I ain't praying. I ain't asking him for more laborers, right? No, he commanded us. He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth more laborers. It's you. I want you to understand this. You are part of that answer to prayer. And I don't want you to be discouraged. I want you to see the reality that he gives us. He will go before us. He'll go behind us. He'll go with us. And all it is, it's simple obedience. Simple obedience. And God will use you. It may seem frustrating. And I could tell you tale after tale, but I will tell you this. I've got story after story of watching God change lives, and there's nothing better than that. But it's this. The harvest is great. The laborers are few. Pray, therefore, that he'll send more laborers. It's why on one of the seven things we pray about with our church, that, oh, God, send forth more laborers. Oh, God, help us raise up more laborers. And it begins here, and that we would send people all over the world. Send people all over the world. We have a great work to do in Fairfield. We have a long way to go in Fairfield. We have a long way to go to do what God's commanded us to do, but I'm convinced of this. It's just obedience. Just loving the Lord. I want to show you some principles. I'm going to show you seven principles. Seven principles that I see from this passage that will help you as you go. God is giving us these passages not so that we're just discouraged, so that we see some principles, we understand reality, and it'll help you when you understand reality. First one is he sent them two by two. Look at this in verse 1. And after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two before his face into every city. I tell you, this is a principle of God's word. You know, the Bible says, at the mouth of two or three witnesses, so everything be confirmed. God's plan, typically, is when we go out, we'll go two by two. And because I see it as a principle in God's word, I think it's good for us, not only just for reputation, but I think it's for encouragement and comfort as well. Typically, if somebody has to go by themselves, I will, but I would prefer not. I would prefer trusting. If Jesus sent them out two by two, you know what I think would be a really good idea, Randall? That we go out two by two, right? At least two by two. It's follow the principle of Jesus. I'm not trying to change anything. It'd be a good idea, wouldn't it? I can't improve on what Jesus does. He sends them out two by two. I want you to know this. If you feel alone today, then you let me know, you let somebody know, we will partner you up, and I want you to have a going bosom buddy. The purpose is not just for a buddy, but somebody that'll help you go. Follow me? I don't want you to be alone. I'm sure there's people you're like, that's me. I'm the Lone Ranger. Right? Then we'll help you. You're not alone. We don't want you to be alone. And we need accountability and help to say, hey, how's your witness going this week? Not too good. Alex, you got alone there a little bit, didn't you? You're like, what are you doing, Pastor? I mean, and so it's okay. You're all right, right? You get alone. How's it go? Not too well. You need Tonto, right? You don't even know who that is, do you? Yeah, you need to grow up and go back and look at some good videos. You know, what is Tonto? It's the Lone Ranger. You know, the Lone Ranger wasn't alone. He had Tonto. And I love this. Quentin, are you Tonto or are you the Lone Ranger? You guys love each other and help each other, okay? Help each other. That doesn't mean you beat each other up. It means you be a brother and you help him. And I want you to help him that we reach the kingdom for Christ, okay? Try to do it alone. Ain't going to work out well. Not going to work out well. God's smarter than us. We need help. I love this church. I mean, it is this. Let me tell you this. You're married. Go with your wife. Let your wife be that help. Go together. It'll help your marriage. It'll be good. I've talked this all the time. When we testify of the Lord Jesus Christ, even if it's just to Him, just when we're speaking to Him, you will be encouraged. You will be encouraged. I told you, I sat across a guy. I had breakfast with him a couple weeks ago. And he's just overwhelmed with life. He's overwhelmed with life. And I know life can be overwhelming. And I'm not beating him up for this. It was very, very negative. Very, very negative. And it's less like, oh, that's a lot. And so I tried to just think, how can I help him? I think he's a Christian. And I said, well, tell me about, and I remembered a story. I said, tell me about this person. Weren't you able to reach them for Jesus Christ? I said, can you tell me that story again? I forgot it. I really did. I don't remember things that well. And he started telling me, and you know what? I wish I had a video camera. I think it would show up on video camera. I saw it. His whole countenance. He sat up straight. He was beaming because he was talking about Christ. We don't do it to get. But I will tell you this, when we obey God, we'll be blessed. I think about, you know, the whole Charlie Kirk thing. And it is, and Charlie Kirk, I've watched so many videos now. As much as we can know from a human perspective, that guy was a believer in Jesus Christ. And this is not me criticizing Charlie Kirk, but here's what I want. And so Charlie Kirk was used of God greatly. Ron, what would I have if I had Charlie Kirk say, Charlie, come here, Charlie. Charlie, you're doing a great job. Here's what I would add one thing. What would I add to Charlie's ministry? I would. All right. That's not me criticizing him. You think it's me criticizing him? It's not. It's not at all. And it is because, and he did, he witnessed and testified of the gospel. He did. And so it is even, and I've heard so many, so I listened to, you know, people that hated him and people that liked him, and the people that hated him, they only heard the things they hated. And I'm telling you this, in my mind, it's not criticism. I'm telling you this man, I mean, you should watch some videos of his wife, godly woman. What a testimony. You know, he got a 3-year-old and 18-month-old they left behind, and their little 3-year-old said, Mommy, I miss Daddy. When's he coming home? And she said, what do you tell a 3-year-old? And I thought God gave her just a great thing. And she said, Daddy's gone on a long trip with Jesus. And it's going to be a while, but one day we'll see him again. I don't know what else to tell 3-year-old. Go 2x2. You need a partner. You need some help. That's the first principle. Second principle I want you to see, they were as lambs among wolves. Look at verse 3. Jesus doesn't pull any punches. Go your ways. Behold, I send you as lambs among wolves. I would be like, is that a good thing? I'm thinking that's not a good thing. You know, wolves love lamb. Lamb chops, right? And Jesus says this, understand that. Don't be shocked. You're as lambs among wolves. And they're going to try to chew you up and spit you out and consume you and overwhelm you and dominate you. And I mean, if you see, I've seen these videos, right? Wolf videos. And man, they go in these packs. Just about the only thing I've seen that they can't defeat are grizzly bears. They can take down anything when they're in a pack. And man, they're so strategic, and it's pretty incredible. And so understand that when you, you watch wolves, and it's like the Bible says, you're as lambs among, there's a strategy. I'm not saying the world is necessarily aware of their strategy, but the devil is. And they want to surround you, and they want to weaken you, and they want to debilitate you. And before they attack you, they're going to have you wore out before the first bite. And then you'll have no fight left. But it's isolation, you see. That's another reason for the 2x2. That's another reason that the Lord established his churches, so that we're not alone. We were never intended to do this alone. Never intended to do it alone. Never intended to be freelance Christianity. Never intended to just do whatever feels good. You need God's ways. They were as lambs among wolves. Third thing I want you to see, they were to depend on the Lord. Look at verse 4. He says, carry neither purse, that would be money, nor scrip, that would be like notes. He says, carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. Focused and complete dependence. Jesus later said, yeah, you can take these things. He was teaching them in this moment, and we ought to learn this as well, complete dependence on God. You get independent of God in your heart, in your mind, then it's not going to go the way it should. He wants us to depend on him. He didn't want them to take money, didn't want them to take notes, that doesn't mean you don't prepare. I've seen people use this. No, in this instance, he was training these 70, and he goes, I want full dependence on me, and here's why. I think they probably listened, because it's like, if I'm a lamb among wolves, then I probably need to depend on the Lord, because he's the only hope I have. And he was teaching them, you must understand this, these are principles when we go. Are we depending on the Lord, or are we just depending on our own strength? God's so merciful, he may use you in your own strength, but I'll tell you, you want to depend on the Lord, you want to go in his strength. Fourth thing I want you to see, he gives peace to those who receive us. Look at verse 5 and 6. And into whatsoever house you enter, say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, so Nassim and Aram asked me this past week, the Son of Peace, it's really, what we talk is generally correct, but there's this term, Son of, that says this, if they are a person of peace, known to have peace and that reputation. Because they would use that term in yesteryear, Son of, to describe what was Judas called? The Son of Perdition, the Son of Damnation, the Son of Destruction, because that's what Judas is known for. The Son of Peace. If this is a house that has a reputation of peace, and the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. And if not, then you shall turn to you again. It's this. We bring peace to those who receive us. I'm going to talk about a misunderstood passage in just a second. This is just clear. You and I, oh Christian, wherever we go, it should be better. I know we can have kerfuffles that don't feel comfortable, but when we deal with people, we should bring peace. We should bring peace, because God is the God of peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. We ought to bring blessings. And you've heard me say this a million times, right? It is wherever we go. You know, I told you when I used to travel a lot, you know, I would sit in an airplane and I would tell the Lord, you know, I would tell him sometimes, I'm too tired, don't have anybody sit by me. I don't want to talk about you. I wouldn't say it that directly, but I honestly said that. Terrible. Not right. I know. Pray for me. And then I would say, I don't want a woman to sit by me. And, you know, because if a woman sat by me, she'd think I'm hitting on her. Now I'm so old, I don't imagine that'll happen, right? But it is, It's how I met Molly, right? I resisted the Lord, right? And I know, don't give up on Molly. God's still bigger. And but here's what I'd look, when I was feeling right with the Lord, coming home, maybe I had a good travel, whatever I was trying to accomplish. And when somebody'd sit by me, I'd be like, God cares for you specially. I wouldn't tell them this because you're sitting by me. Now, if the world heard that, they'd say, you are so egotistical. No, the reason why they're going to be blessed is because I have Jesus Christ in me, and I know that just the effervescence of Christ with me, and that then, by God's grace, we're going to get to the gospel, and I'm going to share with you the most important message in all of history. And so, it's like a lottery. Oh, welcome. Grab a seat right here. I've told folks it becomes more difficult today. You know why? Back when I used to travel, you know, we would be like the Flintstones, right? Stone wheels and that. And so, some of you guys, but it is, back when I used to travel, the earbuds weren't so popular. I've been tempted before. Hey, how you doing? That's taking it too far. I'm not kidding. It's taking it too far. But it is, my wife's better than that. She can, you know, she gets everybody to talk to her. But it's this, understand this. Oh, Christian, people ought to be blessed if you're in their life. Do you understand that? You ought to expect that. You ought to expect people to be encouraged. Quentin, who went out with me this past week? Was it you? Was it this week that lady just started crying? Yeah, and I love, you remember her name, man. That's good. That's good. I love that, Quentin. It's, if you were at the beginning of that visit, it was... I want nothing to do with you. Now, I just kind of ignore it, and I'm like, hey, how you doing? And I want to get to the gospel. And remember when God just broke through, I said, do you have any kids? Just started weeping, didn't she? Not going well with her kids. A mama that loves her kids, right? She didn't know Christ personally. She had religion. Doesn't mean she's a terrible mother. Loved your kids. And I don't think she's ever had anybody pray for her. I said, would you mind if we just pray for your kids right now? And we got to pray for her, and she was just weeping. It was kind of odd because I closed my eyes. You don't have to close your eyes. But when I finished, she was still like this looking at me. And I'm like, oh, I should have been aware of that because, you know, I'm probably... you know, doing all this stuff. She's like, who are you? And but you know what I loved? You should go to every door, every person, and say, how can I be a blessing to you? I got all the blessings in life. Jesus saved me from my sins. How can I bless you? Remember, before they were to preach the gospel, what did they do? They went and healed people. Jesus said, do something good for these people. How about it? How about do something good for these people and then tell them about me? Right? That's what he said. But peace will follow us. I've just got a few more. Receive genuine hospitality. Look at verses 7 and 8. And in the same house you remain. So if they receive you, you remain. He says, eating and drinking, such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. He doesn't want us to be beggars. Christians aren't to be mooches. They aren't to be beggars. So don't go to house to house. You go in that house and you eat whatever they get. And he goes, into whatsoever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as he set before you. And I know in all the missionaries, and I agree with it, and we've practiced it. So when I'm in South Africa, I'm going to eat whatever they put in front of me. Just don't tell me what it is. Till later. And you know why? Jesus said, whatever they put in front of you, you eat it. You got to understand, who is he talking to? A bunch of Jews. And they're like, that's a second. No, that's not okay. They had a lot of things they couldn't eat, right? And Jesus said, whatever they put in front of you, you eat it. Period. Because don't make a big deal about things that don't matter. They'd made what they ate the biggest deal, Anthony. And he said, whatever they put in front of you, you eat it. And you know what we need to do? We just need to receive kindness of people and recognize it. I was out door knocking 5, 6, 7 weeks ago, and there was a, she was a sweet lady. She proclaimed herself within just a few seconds that she was a lesbian. And I didn't even address it. And she said, would you like to come in and have some water? I said, well, we would love to. Who was with me? Anybody remember that? I don't remember who was with me. Okay. And because I wouldn't have gone in a house by myself, so somebody was with me. And so we went into the house, and we just, I just drank the water and just being hospitable, and we had a good conversation. And she says, I don't believe what the Bible says. And I said, well, that's a big deal. I said, because who else can you trust if you can't trust that there's a big enough God to preserve a book that tells us what we need to do? I said, that would be a dilemma for me. I said, it's not blind faith, but I believe the Bible because the Bible is my instruction for life, and God's a big enough God, he preserved it. And if I disagree with the Bible, at least I know this, I'm wrong. We had a good conversation. She goes, I just don't believe that. I said, you know what? I love that you know what you don't believe. And I said, just maybe someday God might trigger your heart and say, it's probably worth a look. It's probably worth a look. Be thankful for genuine hospitality. Just be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful, people. Right? I mean, these ought to be characteristics. You understand this? I know this. Here's what happens. We go out and we're tense. You hear stories. It's not that rough. People are generally, they'll be kind to you. Ask a waitress, a waiter, how you can pray for them. I mean, 1 in 100 have turned their nose up at me. 99 out of 100 are blown away that you ask. 20 out of 100 are moved by it. You never know what God might do. Sixth principle, tell people the kingdom of God was come. Look at verse 9. He said, and heal the sick. Do some help, people, tangibly. Heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. Now, the kingdom of God is spoken of in so many different ways in the Bible. You know, the big picture kingdom of God is everything under his realm, which is everything. But I think the kingdom of God that he's talking about is, remember this, just in the last chapter, he said, some of you standing here will not taste death until you see the kingdom of God coming in power. The kingdom of God, I think in this case, is the glory of Christ. What are we to preach? The glory of Christ. Oh, Christian, are you excited about the glory of Christ? Are you not excited about the glory of Christ? Is there something better to talk about? Is the glory of Christ is the best thing. I want you to be so charged up when you leave here that you can't wait to tell somebody about the kingdom of God. Say, I was reminded this morning, the most exciting thing in life is that Jesus came, God himself, put on flesh. Because you know why God had to come? Because we can't get right with him. It's an impossibility to be right with God. I'm super excited about it. And it's okay. Will you just listen to me for 2 minutes? I would tell people this. I'll say, and I'm not upset if you don't believe it. I say, I want you to believe it. But I want you to understand this. The Bible has the only true solution for my sin. It's not being good. Goodness will never erase it. Oh, but let me tell you, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son so that you and I might be made right. My goodness has nothing to do with it. And it's the glory of Christ. His kingdom has come. He has been here. And he died. He took upon himself our sin. I agree with this. I was reading this past week. And Jesus, I shouldn't ask you. So I'm going to tell you what I agreed with that I read. Jesus didn't become a sinner. He became sin for us. There's a big difference. I read it and I said, you know, just like you guys, you're like, I will not shake my head until I think about it. And he didn't become a sinner, but he took upon himself our sin. Therefore, he deserved the judgment of his Father. But he didn't become a sinner. For he, God, hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It is, so maybe we can talk that. But he became sin for us. Jesus never sinned. Therefore, I would argue, he was not a sinner, but he became sin for us. You see, I love those thoughts that say, wow, what a Savior. See, we should be so excited, we should go charge in the streets and say, I want you to understand this. The kingdom of God has come, and it's the glory of Christ. It's the work of Christ. God came, put on flesh, and he did what you couldn't do. He perfectly obeyed God in everything. And he then took upon himself your sin, and you can only be made right with God if you receive that gift by faith. That's the only way to be saved. We've gotten stale, haven't we? I do love this. Several have asked this. Oh, God, stir in me a revival of my heart that I might want to tell everybody I meet. And you better believe this old cat, too. I'm not up here telling you this. Some of you go out to eat with me, and you'll say, he didn't give him a track. Blew it. Unrighteous. Sin. Yeah, I'll call it what it is. I was waiting on you. But help me. Help me. Should there ever be somebody that we interact with that we're like, hey, just take a look at this. What the Bible says is necessary for heaven. And if there's a pause, say, you know, I'd love to meet you. Free lunch or dinner on me. And we'll talk about the things of the Bible. Some say yes, some say no. Seventh principle. Judgment awaits those who reject the message. Now, I want to explain this, and I'm almost done. I'm minutes away, so hang in there. Get alert. It's this. Look at what he says, verse 10. But into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. Now, this is my punk attitude, okay? The Bible doesn't say this. This is me. You reject me, I don't like you. Okay? I've taken it too personal, because Jesus finishes with that. So this would be me. This would be me. Hey, you deadbeats! Losers! That's not the context. That's a problem I have. Not right. It's called sin. Took it too personal. If they didn't reject me, we're going to see that in verse 16. They reject Christ. He that despises you despiseth me, Jesus says. I just want you to read this. I want to tell you what Jesus told them to do with the dust was mercy. One last message, guys. Hey, God loves you. But understand this, judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. And they said this. And I know, how do you say this with love? But I believe they did. It's this. Woe unto you, Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum. If the works that were done before you would have been done for Sodom, Tyre, and Sidon, they would have repented long ago. And this is important. I'm here to warn you. Oh, Baptists, sit in a Baptist church. And I'm not the greatest preacher, not even close. But I'll tell you, by God's grace, I want to preach the truth. And I believe this. Woe unto you. It would have been better if you would have never been a Baptist, if you die in your sin as a Baptist. There will be greater accountability because you hear the message over and over and over again. Woe unto you, and justly shall. So Hebrews 10 says, you know, won't they have sore punishment who have trampled underfoot the blood of Christ? And if you sit here, you're never going to be saved but I want you to understand, you better grapple with the judgment of God. I know, and I need to say it nicer, but I say it intensely because it is absolutely real. Will the person that hears fewer still, if they die in their sins, will they be damned? Yes, but your damnation will be worse. Talks about that here, doesn't it? Talks about it. Look what it says. Verse 12, but I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day, in the day of judgment, for Sodom than for that city. Sodom. How many other cities were burned with fire and brimstone? Can you name them? That's it. Sodom and Gomorrah. That's it. And he said, oh, your judgment's worse. And you understand this? Because the kingdom of God in the person of Jesus Christ came down. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul, right? Kingdom of God came down. And they saw the Christ in the flesh. And they said, no. And he did many wonderful works. Capernaum. Why is he so hard on Capernaum? That was his earthly headquarters. And it's one of the most fascinating cities. If you ever go to Israel, that's where you want to spend a lot of time. Jerusalem as well, yes. But Capernaum, outside of Jerusalem, all the miracles, map them out. I'm going to do it better the next time I go. I'm going to do it better. It's amazing. And they rejected Christ. I tell you that for your awareness. I don't think anybody goes to heaven because of fear. I think you go to heaven because you finally see Jesus for who he is and that you can trust him and that you will truly turn from your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But I will tell you, I will preach judgment clearly. You sit in here week after week after week and you reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will justly be held more accountable. Because that is right. Final thing, not a principle. It's all about Jesus. Look at verse 16. When we go, if you make it about you, you're going to quit. Verse 16. He that heareth you, heareth me. There's two sides to this ditch. God uses you. You could be like, Seth, what have you done lately? He that heareth you, heareth me. It's about Jesus. He that despiseth you, despiseth me. It's not about you. Don't take it personal. It's not about you. It's not. I'm telling you, I told you this. I take it personal. And I just got to get back in the book and go, it wasn't personal. I take it personal, right? I mean, so don't test me. Go, oh, I was just testing you to see if you took it personal. I do. I don't like you. And I'll say, oh, would you please forgive me? See, if I'm focused on Christ, I remember this. Oh, somebody hears me. Oh, God, thank you for using my pathetic voice. Somebody despises me, they despise Christ, and that should wound my heart. And he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. You see, Jesus always goes back to the Father. I believe in much of my preaching, I discount God the Father. And I don't want to do that as much. He talks about it all the time. God sent me. One of the three things, he wants the world to know that God sent him. But I want you to just, you know, get the notes. I can send you the notes. These are principles that if we can follow these, it'll help us. It'll help us. Principles. Because here's what I know. I love our church. I didn't preach through resistance today. It's just really hard, isn't it? And I know this. You're like, get revived, and after 2 weeks, you're like, oh, this is so dumb. Hang in there. Let's encourage each other to hang in there. That's why you guys hear this. You're like, he's on to somebody new. You know why? I want to suck the life out of them to encourage me. You know what? New believers are excited about Jesus. I'm just like, let me chew on that for a little bit. Jesus is better than I've been giving him credit for. You know, and let's hang in there. Oh, I love this. Nearly every single person in this room, you're pursuing people. How about just a few more? How about just keep pursuing those people and just pursue a couple more? God will never give you more than you can handle. I told you, Jacob asked me one time, Jacob Alma, he said, Pastor, he said, when should we stop trying to add people to our list? And I said, hang on just a second, let me study this. And I said, never. God will work it all out. Some will maybe drop off for a little bit. Don't forget them. He'll add others. He wants to send us for his glory. The kingdom of God has come. Are we excited to tell the world? Let's pray.